You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 139. One thing I ask new clients when I meet them for the first time, and by meet I mean that's usually over the phone or over Skype, because not everyone lives in Brisbane, Australia, even though it sometimes feels like the centre of the universe to us here in Brisbane, Australia. Of course, clients come from all over the world and people listen to this show from all over the world too, but I digress. One thing that I always ask new clients is, what made you decide to book this session? How did you hear about me? And more often than not, people begin, well, I've been listening to your podcasts, or I've been listening to you on The Dream Show for some time. Then it usually goes something like, this is a really important time in my life, I've got a decision to make, or something feels not quite right, or I just need to understand something more clearly, or I need a bit more guidance, or I've interpreted this dream, but I don't think I've done it right. Those are kind of the general reasons that bring people for that very first session with a dream. But it usually begins, more often than not, I've been listening to your podcast. So thank you for listening to the podcast. And I know this is episode 139, so we've been doing this for a while, and a lot of the podcasts, and I think perhaps the ones that people really enjoy most, are the ones where we have a guest on the show, when someone comes on the show with a dream, sight unseen to me, and we interpret the dream, and as listeners, you get to hear the whole process, you get to hear the dream, you get to hear it as I hear it for the first time, and you get to listen to the whole discussion, and you get to find out what the dream means, and the caller usually throws some light on how that dream relates to their life, and we all go away having learned something, which is great, and most of all, you go away with a bit of an insight about how dream interpretation and dream analysis and dream alchemy work. And one of the challenges, I guess, for me, apart from getting people to be confident enough and generous enough to put their hands up to be guests on the show. You may know so far now that we haven't got a guest on the show today. I think it takes a lot of courage to be a guest on the show, because obviously you know you come on knowing you're going to be listened to by people in 26 countries, and you know that probably in the process of looking at your dream, something's going to come up and you're going to think, oh, I really wish that I hadn't brought this up in front of all those people in 26 countries, and somebody's going to recognise my voice, and oh my God. So it takes a lot of courage. I thank those of you that do. If you're listening and you're thinking, oh, that's easy enough to do, I'd love to be a guest on the show, you know what to do, email me. But where was I going with this? I ask myself. Yes, I remember. The challenge for me in creating this show each week, and I guess in much of my work, the challenge for me in a lot of my work, writing blogs, doing my media stuff, doing radio, writing books, is that what I've got is a really, 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 really difficult subject to try and make easy. And there's times when I wish that it really was as easy as writing a dream dictionary, or it really was as easy as saying, you know, there are 10 easy steps to understanding your dream, and if you follow these steps, you'll not only understand your dream, but you'll instantly become a multimillionaire and know all the secrets to life in general. And of course, I can't say that. Because dreams are a complicated subject, they attracted me. I love bending my mind and my heart and my soul around these difficult subjects, but I also love trying to ease and tease them out to offer you ways of looking at your own dreams. It's very challenging. It's very difficult. I'd like to think that I sometimes succeed, because there really is no one overall rational approach that you can say, if you approach your dream in this way, you will understand what it means. That can't be done. And one reason why it can't be done is that there are so many different kinds of dreams. Just have a think about it for a moment. Have a think about your own dreams. Sometimes you have dreams and they have a beginning, they have a middle, and they have an end. They're kind of like story dreams. And those kind of dreams we approach in a certain way. Others of your dreams are more like, there's no story, it's just this amazing emotion that you can't put words on, and it's either a really uplifting emotion or it's really, really frightening, but you wake up and you think, I can't even really express that dream, but it really created a big impact on me. Well, I work on that in a completely different way, and if I was giving you tips, I'd give you completely different tips and approaches to work on a dream like that. And then you might have a nightmare kind of dream where, you know, it begins as a kind of storyline and then it gets out of control and then it gets absolutely terrifying and it just gets worse and worse and worse till you wake up and you're glad that it wasn't a dream, but you spend the next few days really upset and concerned about this dream. Well, you know, we apply different techniques and tips to understand that dream. And so it goes and so it goes and so it goes, because every dream is unique. Your dream is not the same as someone else's. So even though you may dream what we call a common dream theme, you know, you may dream of losing your teeth, you may dream of running from a tsunami, you may dream of somebody close to you dying. Your dream is different, means something different from everybody else who's had a dream of losing their teeth or running from a tsunami or dreaming of someone close to them that's died. There are similarities. There are ways of getting into these dreams. And it's those ways of getting into these dreams that I work at trying to get across to you in the podcasts, in the dream show, on the radio, in the blogs, in the books. So it's ways of getting across. Dreams are broader in the way that they evolve, in the way that they feel, in the way that the stories are or aren't. They're much broader than our waking life. So it's tips, it's insights, it's ways of working that I'm offering. And as people often say to me when they book a session, in the end I had to book a session with you because I just couldn't do it myself. And I understand that. And it's not that I'm trying to make it complicated so that you have to spend some money and book a session with me. I would love to wave that magic wand and write that book. Let's make it even easier. I'd love to write that book. 3 easy steps to understanding every dream you've ever had. And by the way, you can be a millionaire too. Because I'd probably be a millionaire if I wrote a book like that and everybody bought it. And I am so not a millionaire. So I'm not trying to make it complicated. I'm trying to offer tips and ways of looking at your dreams, and when that helps you, that's great. And when it's not quite enough, but you get the feel that if you could sit down with me, that I could help you with your unique dream and open your eyes to it, that's where you book a session. And that, behind the scenes, in the confidential ground of a Skype consultation or a phone consultation or even a face-to-face consultation if you're in or passing through Brisbane, that is where the magic happens. That's where you totally relax, tell me all about your dream, respond in an open manner, and it's where I can talk to you knowing that there aren't hundreds and thousands of people listening in. It's where I can really put everything that I've got, my heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit, everything into you and your dream, and really open it up to you and show you what it means about your life and ask you, now that you see this about your life, are you happy with this? Would you like to change something in your life? What would you like to change? Because now we're going to do some dream therapy to help you make those changes. So I don't really know what I've just been talking about. It's all a preamble to what I'm going to be doing today. But I guess it's just a kind of a way of saying thank you yet again for listening. I know there's 139 hours to date of podcasts for you to trawl through. And I know because you tell me that you get inspired by them. But I also appreciate that sometimes it's much easier to just book a session, sit down with me, and let me help you to understand your dream. Because once you get that, you can start making changes in your life right now, rather than spending another few years really trying to understand how to do it yourself. As another aside, before we really get into it, if you, and I think there are probably, from judging by emails I get, probably up to 10% of you listening in are listening in because you are therapists or psychotherapists and you're using a lot of the tips and tools that I give you for your own clients, not because you work in the dream field yourself necessarily, but because sometimes your clients mention dreams, then thank you for listening again. And you may also like to speed your journey by perhaps either booking some personal sessions with me to really get that experiential first-hand knowledge of the techniques and what they can feel like when it's all about you and your dream. Or you might like to book some of the training sessions that I do. All my training sessions are one-on-one, so it's totally focused on you and what you need to get out of it. And if what you need to get out of it is continuing professional development points, then we can do that too. So what we're going to talk about today is I've picked three blogs, and I'm going to read them to you because the first one opens with the question, are we meant to learn lessons from our dreams? So that's kind of like the general theme for today. Are we meant to learn lessons from our dreams? And again, it's one of those beautifully simple questions that I'd love to just be able to answer. Well, yeah, this is what you do. But I'm going to read these to you and hope to inspire you to be able to approach your dreams in little chunks that are meaningful and nurturing and helpful to you. Before I do that, I have to mention the website addresses www.dream.net.au and my blog at janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H, or find me on Facebook. Life lessons. I wrote this one in October 2011. So I actually mentioned my granddaughter in this blog, and in 2011 she was 8 months old. She's older than that now, of course. But here we go, life lessons. Are we meant to learn lessons from our dreams? Asked Cheryl in an email I received this week. It's a good question, both simple and complex, and one many people ask. So, are we meant to learn lessons from our dreams? I've been watching Isabel, my 8-month-old granddaughter, learning to crawl. You might think crawling is innate, an instinct, but not all babies crawl before they can walk. Some progress directly from sitting to standing and walking, while others get mobile by rolling around or shuffling on their bottoms or scrabbling on hands and feet rather than on hands and knees. Newborns have an instinctive crawling reflex. If you place a newborn on her mother's tummy, she will usually do the breast crawl, crawling up to latch onto her mother's nipple. If you place babies onto their tummies in the first weeks of life, you will see little movements like crawling. Although they don't make any forward movement, this action is believed to help protect them from asphyxiation when lying face down. The instinct seems to disappear after a few weeks, and since babies in some cultures never crawl, it appears that crawling is just one of many possible solutions babies find to satisfy a drive to get mobile before they work out how to walk. Here's what I've learned from watching Isabel learn to crawl. The most important thing is the toy she wants to get to. It's all about keeping her eye on the prize. Locked on all fours, swaying, getting nowhere, you can almost hear her thinking, searching for a solution. At least, that's my interpretation of what's going on. Does this remind you of a situation in your life, now or in the past, where you know what you want to achieve but you can't seem to get it happening? Or you can't quite work out exactly what to do. Or you just feel stuck. What do you do next? Keep trying? Get frustrated? Look for a different solution? Give up? Feel like a failure? Cry for help? What's the right thing to do? Is there a life lesson here? Some argue for persistence. Stick with the formula, stick with doing what you're doing, and you will eventually succeed. Others argue the opposite. If what you're doing isn't working, then you need to change what you're doing. Isabel might have found a different way to get mobile. She got pretty good at doing the roly-poly, which, by adding a wriggle here and there, sort of got her to where she wanted to be, but crawling still intrigued her, so she spent more time swaying on all fours, thinking, and growing stronger. After a few days, she tried hefting both legs at the same time and then finally worked out the cross-crawl pattern. Move right knee and left hand, then left knee and right hand. Now she's building up the strength to go more than four little crawls at a time. What can you take from Isabel's story to apply to a situation where you feel stuck? Are you really stuck? Or, like a baby swaying on all fours, are you really in training, practicing and acquiring accessory skills, gaining strengths, developing and refining systems, even if all you've got is a feeling of getting nowhere? Is the resistance you feel actually assistance in disguise? Is giving up the best solution? Or might today be the day when everything you have learned finally clicks into coordination and quite suddenly you achieve your goal? You can't walk before you can crawl is a commonly quoted life lesson. Not necessarily true when considered literally. Generally true metaphorically. I'm not sure what kind of lesson Cheryl was referring to when she asked if we are meant to learn lessons from our dreams. But I do know that our dreams process our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours, matching them to our past experiences before filing them away as same old or new. So our dreams reflect our personal beliefs about life. The life lessons we have drawn and relied upon, same old, and the new life lessons in the making. The lessons I draw from my life experiences may be different from the lessons you draw. And the lessons you drew when you were 10 years old may be different from the lessons you will draw when you are 90. What seems right or feels right or works right for you may be totally wrong for me. But the more we share and compare what our life lessons have taught us, the closer we move towards living our lives meaningfully. When you interpret your dreams, you understand the unconscious patterns of your life. You see how you live your life according to the personal lessons you have learned. And you see which of those life lessons are working well for you and which are not. It's never too late to learn. Oh, that's a universal life lesson, by the way. And if it's meaningful life lessons you're after, look into your dreams to understand your life, how it has shaped you, and how you can choose to shape it. So I'm going to move from there to another blog I wrote, and this one's a specific tip that applies to many dreams, but not all dreams. Remember I said at the beginning of today's show, you can't really give a tip that suits every dream. So it's kind of like, here's a tip that works for some, here's a tip that works for others, and it's really not that the tips are wrong, it's that different kind of dreams work better with different kind of tips. So here's one that applies to quite a lot of dreams. In fact, when I'm interpreting a dream, this is often one of the first clues that I look for. And if it's there, I begin there. And if it's not there, I look for something else. So I find this one really helpful. I actually wrote this one originally for my book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which I think I wrote in, 2006 or 2007. But I also put this one up as a blog in January 2012, so you can find it there. It's called Extreme Dreams. Here's a great tip for when you're feeling stuck and need some guidance to move forward. Most dreams, when you look at them closely, have at least one pair of opposites. For example, your dream might involve slow and fast, or high and low, or noisy and quiet, or long way round and short way round. Look for these opposites and write them down. If the opposites don't jump out at you straight away, look at the personalities of any people in your dream. Dreams usually highlight people with opposite personalities or opposite approaches to life. For example, one person in your dream might be someone you consider very flexible and open-minded, while another person in the same dream might be someone you consider rigid and closed-minded. Not all dreams contain pairs of opposites, but most do, so have a really good look. When you find a pair of opposites, ask which opposite best describes you or a life experience you are encountering right now. Then ask what you think about people who tend to be in the opposite corner from you on this. Finally, ask if you were ever in the opposite corner before you swapped sides. These pairs of opposites define issues that your dream is processing. Something is only an issue in your life if you tend towards one extreme opposite or corner because you find something about the other extreme uncomfortable. So, for example, you might tend towards being too flexible because you haven't had good experiences with rigid people and don't want to be like them. Or you might tend toward being too rigid because being too flexible in the past seems to have created difficulties for you. What's the solution? The solution is to identify the issue. In this example, the issue is how flexible or how rigid to be about something in your life right now. And then to balance your approach by finding a midpoint between the two extremes. For example, it's usually best in any situation to take an approach about halfway between too flexible and too rigid, a place where a bit of both serves you well. Dreams help you to identify issues you have been blind to, issues that are affecting your life in a negative way. They help you to see where your life needs more balance. And then it's up to you to follow that cue, maybe using dream alchemy. And just one more, and this is actually a blog that I only wrote a couple of months ago in April 2013. And it's more giving you a tip about how to approach an unusual symbol in your dream. And again, it doesn't work for all dreams, it only works for some dreams. And I just like the story, so I've included it in this one. And I feedback from a lot of you reading the blog is that it went down well. So here we are. It's called The Power of Taste, and I wrote this in April 2013. Maybe I should open a patisserie. I recently tasted the most delicious concoction of a cake in a dream. Architecturally, it was a standout. A creamy white abstract puff atop a stack of four dried figs. I passed the cake around for everyone to taste. On closer examination, I noticed the figs weren't figs after all. They were biscuits shaped like figs. Freud might have taken a sexual approach to interpreting my dream. A creamy puff atop a phallic stack and figs too? Contemplating my dream the next day, I closed my eyes and imagined biting into the cake just as I had done in the dream. I wanted to connect with the taste. I waited a few seconds. Nothing. I persevered. I believed. I knew that if I had tasted it in my dream, I could access the sensation again. And suddenly, there it was. Carnation evaporated milk, quickly followed by a vision of my favourite childhood biscuits, fig rolls. My dream symbol began to make sense. Puddings, as desserts were known in our family when I was a small child, were sometimes served with carnation evaporated milk. The can was placed on the table, two holes punched in the top, and if we were good, we were allowed to pour an extra spoonful and, the best part, drink it straight from the spoon. Not two spoonfuls, just one. When I grow up and have my own home, I remember saying on one such occasion, I'm going to have a cupboard full of carnation evaporated milk and drink whole cans whenever I want to, and I'm going to have lots of packets of fig rolls and eat as many as I want. Fig rolls were my favourite biscuits and a very rare treat in our house. Whenever we went visiting relatives, Mum would remind us of biscuit etiquette just before going in. One fancy and two plain. Our relatives would look quite astounded when they passed the plate a second time and we selected two plain tea biscuits each, despite their encouragement to have another chocolate digestive or custard cream. We understood about the cost of fancy biscuits, about being polite, and about being healthy. But when our cousins, subject to different family rules, happily plundered the fancies, it niggled. It more than niggled me when there were fig rolls on the plate. In my dream, I had more than a measured spoonful of carnation evaporated milk whipped into my cake, and not one but four fancy fig biscuits. I shared my cake and still I had more. I was able to look at the rest of my dream and understand the cake symbol in context. When a dream symbol presents you with a taste, smell, texture, or unusual sound or colour, close your eyes and invite the dream sensation to return. Memories are often filed away with associated smells, tastes, and other sensory details, so reconnecting with the dream sensation can unlock those associated memories and throw light on the meaning of your dream symbol. Thanks to a taste sensation, I now understand my dream. As an aside, my tastes have changed and there are no cans of evaporated milk or packets of fig biscuits in my cupboards. I don't fancy them at all. But wait a minute. I always include dried figs and a dollop or three of creamy yogurt on my morning muesli. So I guess I have lived happily ever after all. And that's that. So I hope you've enjoyed today's dream show. I'd love to hear from you if you're enjoying the show, or if you're not, feedback's always good. Go to any of my websites, you'll find my email address if you want to give me feedback, or if you want to put your hand up to be a guest on the show, it's all good. And the websites again, dream.net.au, and the blog janetheresa.com, that's Teresa without an H. If you're enjoying the show, remember that you can go to iTunes and automatically download it all the time. And remember, if you're enjoying either the show or the books or the blogs or the website or the radio, or if you're enjoying consultations with me, or if you're enjoying mentoring, if you're enjoying any of those, open your mouth and tell other people. I know for a fact that we hold dreams very close to our chests, and we hold insights and revelations about our lives very close to our chests, and we don't readily share with other people that we're doing dream work, or that we're finding this interesting, or that we've had a consultation that was eye-opening. I don't know why. I don't hold them very close to my chest. I've spent 20-odd years talking about this stuff, but most people do, and if that's you, I'd really appreciate it if you share the love. Share the links and, you know, introduce this stuff to other people. It's all good. So until next episode, which will be episode 140, which will come out on the 28th of June, have a wonderful month, have lots of exciting dreams, and I wish you not only many blessings, but many dream insights too. And maybe I'll meet you for the first time by Skype, by phone, or as a guest on the show. Talk to you in June. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.